praying to raise your hand and praise the Lord this morning. Musicians be seated if you'd like to. You know, some person can say, what does it matter if I raise my hands or not? I promise you, you break chains. Because you know what? The devil, what he'll try to do is get you in a formal worship where you're just another service. It's not just another service. This is my service, amen? Amen. And you got to say that for yourself. This is my service. Devil, I fought you all week. I'm getting encouraged now. I'm getting my B12 shot. I'm going to whoop you all week long. Say amen? Amen. That's what we're here for. You'll get exactly what you come expecting. You come ready to worship God, I'm telling you what, He'll meet you on the ground. I believe it. I love the Word. I got lots of scriptures this morning. I'm going to put my wife to work this morning. I think she ate her breakfast this morning, so she should be good to go. How many of you come ready to worship God this morning? Amen. I believe that you did. I want to speak to you this morning on the power of the sons of God. And if you don't mind, let's turn our Bibles to St. John. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. And she'll have these on the multimedia. I really, 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 really enjoyed that song, sister. Come to the Well. That was just... All morning this morning, I felt like there's something... You know, if you're cooking beans or something, you're missing something in the stew. And I all morning, I was in... I woke up in the middle of the night trying to figure out what it was. And I was even sitting in the chair, and I was like, Lord, I feel like I'm missing something. And she started... And I'm telling you... 2 seconds since she was singing, I was like, that's it. That is exactly what I've been needing this morning. So thank you. I appreciate your leading and following the leadership of the Lord this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to the name of the Lord Jesus. I thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I ask you to take the nervousness away from me. Lord, help me step to the side, Lord, and you just flow through me this morning. Yes. Lord, if there be anything that will hinder the service, we put it under the blood right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to read a little something that comes from glorified Jesus. It says, just like if ever one time by the working of the Holy Spirit, God reveals to you that Jesus Christ died in your stead, and it's Him knocking at your heart's door. Something happens down there in the little heart. It's over. Do you believe it? We have altar calls and bring people up around the altar. That's a good tradition of the church. But in the Bible time, as many as believed on the Lord just accepted Him wherever they was. As many as believed was saved. They had no altar calls. That first originated in the Methodist around the early Methodist church coming to the altar. It's a good thing. We should never let it go. Keep it up. It's a good thing. Come out there. Pour your heart out before God. That's the way to do it. But really, that isn't what saves you. Listen now. He said you could stay there at the altar and pray all night long. Cry up and down the altar. You could do every penance that you could. You could sell everything you got, give to the poor. You could go on a fast for 40 days and get so wore out from fasting till you just couldn't walk. It never do you any good until you accept it. That's it. It's your part. God did his part. Now you do your part. Just a simple thing of believing it. When you believe it, that settles it forever. You say amen?
Amen.
You know, I've been through that experience before where I would just beat myself up and say, God, I want to be saved so bad, and didn't realize I was saved. But the devil, because the devil can't steal your salvation, but he can steal your joy of your salvation.
That's right.
Listen to me, young people. He can't take your salvation, but he can take the joy from you. Amen. It can sound like an oxymoron when a preacher says man's always trying to save himself, but then he says there's something you got to do. God will give you the antidote, but you've got to take the medicine.
Right.
You know, and there are certain chemicals, when come in contact with other chemicals, it causes a reaction. It can start foaming, or it can smell, or it can change in color. Or even a person coming in contact with a substance, and a certain reaction can start happening. He can start coughing or sneezing. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. It's an action caused by a reaction. You know, you can take a seed that's in Atwoods, sitting in a little package. It can sit there for 20 years. It's not going to produce nothing. But you put that thing in the right place, in the right environment, you'll start getting results from it. Nothing wrong with the seed. That's a reaction. There are many positives and negatives that come from an action caused by a reaction. A small girl that's scared by a dog or hope by at a young age, because of that action, she can have a nervous condition her entire life. And every time she gets around a bunch of people, she gets nervous. Why? Something happened in her life. There's an action that caused a reaction. A soldier that goes to war, he sees these things, and now because he's gone to he's seen the gunshot, he's seen the battle wounds, every time he comes to 4th July, he gets paranoid. Why? An action caused by a reaction. These are all things that happens when you're coming into contact with something. Power was given to them that believe on his name, the Lord Jesus. There's a power in the revelation of the word. And I want to show you, the prophet told us there's three things that we must not do. Now, in order to study the scripture, this is Brother Branham talking. He said, and I'll tell you when it's Brother Branham, I'll tell you if it's me. Okay, I always. Anytime I ever preach, I'll always tell you if it's Brother Branham. If I'm not, it's me. Okay, I'll always remember that. Now, in order to study the scripture, Paul told Timothy, study it rightly, dividing the word of God, which is truth. Them is three must in the scripture. It's God's word. There is three things that you must not do. Now let's study those for the next 10 minutes. There's three things that you must not do. And all out in the land, wherever you go across the nation, be sure to put these things down in your mind. If you haven't got a pencil, you must not do these things. We tell you all the time how you must do. Now I'm going to tell you what you must not do. Number one, he says, you must not misinterpret the word. You say, well, I believe it means this. It means just what it says. It does not need an interpreter. You must not misplace the word. You must not dislocate the word. And if you would do either of these, it throws the whole Bible in confusion into chaos. You say amen.
Amen.
Okay. You cannot misinterpret the word. Many times you talk to somebody, they say, but to me, the Bible means this. The scripture says it's not for private interpretation. How could God be a just God if everybody can have their own interpretation of what it says?
Right.
You know, the street sign out there, if it says, I don't even know what the speed limit says. Let's say it says 25 miles an hour. You can say, officer, I believe in my heart that it means 45. Truly. And you can say that with sincerity. He's going to give you a ticket. You say amen. It's as simple as that. The word says what it is. It's not for private interpretation. He said, let there be light. There was light. Amen. He says, you must not misplace the word. Many times people take one scripture out of the Bible and say, this is why I believe what I do, but it doesn't tie with the rest of the scriptures. And that's the thing about a prophet of God. What made him a prophet to me, it was not the cloud. If there was never a cloud, that would have no effect on me.
Right.
It wasn't the pillar of fire. It was whenever he spoke the word, I could see from Genesis all the way to Revelation, it absolutely dovetailed.
That's right.
And that's the thing about any revelation that we ever get from God, it'll match the word.
Right.
Because if it don't, it is not a revelation from God. Amen? There's power in the sons of God, but it comes from the Word. But it has to be undefiled. It has to be not just the pages of this Word. I believe you can take this and just read pages and it's going to do nothing. If you've got a demon trying to haunt you or something in the house or something that's trying to torment you or something, you can read the Word and maybe it'll have some effect, I don't know. But it's the revelation of this Word. When my foot was hurt, my ankle was hurt, I could just read scriptures and say, by stripes I'm healed. That's good. That's wonderful. But it has to be a revelation. I am healed.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And if that's the same thing for healing, it's the same thing for salvation. Now, there's no power in confusion. You take a sergeant that's over an army that has authority to his command and his troops, and he can have the authority to go conquer the battlefield and if he gets confused over his orders, you take a man that's leading his troops, and he's got the ability, he's got the position given to him. Hey, standing in the position the army put him into. But if he doesn't hold the authority, if he's confused all the time, they try to tell him, you know, you've got to do this, and he tries to talk stern to his men, and he tries to get them alert, to get their attention, but if he keeps stumbling, and he says, oh, I think we're going over here. Well, wait a minute. Maybe we're not going over here, guys. We're going over here. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We're going over here. No, wait a minute. Confusion. If that man's confused, his men aren't going to follow him. Because it's confusion. And if someone comes to you and you've got to stand your ground on an issue and you don't even know where you're standing, they'll knock you all over the place. You won't know where you're standing. He'll say, I'm just going to throw an example. If you're at Atwoods and you're selling a lawnmower, well, Tony just bought a lawnmower. I guess that's what came to my mind. Let's say he's selling a lawnmower and he knows the price is this. If someone comes up to him and says, you know what, I'm supposed to get a lifetime powertrain on that lawnmower. I'm supposed to get this. And if that salesman didn't know that, he'd say, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe you do. And he says, hey, I'm supposed to get new tires. I'm supposed to get this. I'm supposed to get this. And then because that salesman doesn't know where he's standing, he can walk all over that guy. And that guy don't know what. Confusion. Why? Because he doesn't know where he's standing. And if you take that same thing as a son or daughter of God, that devil can come toward you and he will try you. He will try you. He'll say, you know what? You're not saved. What happened at camp? That was just an emotion. What happened that night when you were at home in bed and you're praying to God? That was just an emotion. What's he doing? He's trying you. And he's going to try to get you all scribbled up and confused. And he'll start reasoning in your mind, oh, wait a minute. Maybe that was just an emotion. Maybe that was just that. Maybe I didn't really accept the Lord in my heart. What's the devil doing? Making you confused. Because when you're confused, you cannot stand your ground. And we got to stand our ground, amen. If Eve would have stood behind that word, stayed fortified behind that word, that devil could have never got to her. But she got away from the word by reasoning. And that's the same way the devil will get us today. The exact same way. He'll get us to reason with the word. If a person doesn't know who they are or what they're doing, they are powerless, especially under opposition. We've got a young salesman at our dealership. I think he'll be a really good salesman. It's a perfect example. He don't know where he's standing, and he'll just, whatever the customer says, yep, that's right, and it's not right. You've got to know where you're standing. You don't cheat people. You treat them right. You do it with integrity, but you don't let them cheat you either.
Right.
Is that right? Is that fair enough? In Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leavened bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. This word, this message, is a fortification as long as you stay with the original word. But he's telling Jesus is the literal word made flesh is standing right in front of them. And they are so caught up in carnality that they're worrying about physical bread. They're talking about physical things. And it doesn't even mean anything. The devil will do the same thing to us today. The literal word revealed right in front of them. Jesus was right in front of them. Jesus made flesh right in front of them. And they were talking about bread. They were worrying about bread. And Jesus says, why are you worrying about the bread? Don't you know I can provide the bread? Don't worry about those things. You're missing the revelation. The revelation, I'm telling you, is you've got to be fortified. And the only way you can be fortified is having the original word right in front of you. That means when a prophet comes, that's why, thank God, we have a prophet that straightened it out. We don't have to worry whether I'm saved or not. I don't have to worry if I got the Holy Ghost or not. You say amen. I don't have to worry about if there's three gods. I remember when I was a young boy, we would go out in the country. We had a chicken house. Behind that chicken house, we'd always climb in the tree, and that was kind of our clubhouse. And we had an old picture of Jesus in our kitchen. And I remember I had a dream, and I was just a little bitty fella. I was probably 8 years old. I had a dream that that man in that picture come to my clubhouse back there, and he was mean. And he was real mean to me. And I remember I wanted to talk to him, and he was real mean to me. And I was scared of him. I was literally scared of Jesus because of that dream that I had. And you know what? The word will always correct the error. And I remember just a little bitty boy. I had a little Bible that had a picture of Jesus, and he was feeding the little children. They had him on his lap or something. It was one of those little old Bibles. I remember I was reading that, and I started reading it. And as a little bitty feller, I remember reading that, and I could say, this does not match that dream. And as that little boy, I realized that's false doctrine.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, if I would have told you with little words, I would not have said, that's false doctrine. You know, back then, I would have known that. But I knew that's not right. And what am I saying? The doctrines that we have, that devil will be so slick. I hate the devil. I absolutely hate him. He was trying to follow me at such a young age. He will come to you to make you twist the doctrine on it, to make you see a false light, a false Jesus. That's where he said, if anyone else preaches another Jesus, you know, you don't even listen to that garbage.
That's right.
Preach the original word. That's what I love about Brother Branham. He preached what Paul preached. He preached exactly what he preached. He didn't come with a different doctrine. He preached exactly what Paul preached.
Amen.
We need to take every word that's been given to us, every dream that we've ever had. Listen to me now. You have dreams. That devil will give you dreams and make you doubt your salvation. That devil will give you dreams to doubt your experience in the Lord. He'll say, it's just an emotion. It was just this. It was just that. What you got to do, you got to take this word and examine it with this. And if your dream don't match it with this, put it behind you. Amen?
Amen.
Because he can use that dream to hold you back. He can use a bad dream or a misinterpretation to hold you back. You know, the thing about the word, he'll never beat you down and leave you there. He'll always correct you and lead you right back to repentance. Amen?
Amen.
If the Lord's dealing with your heart, a lot of times you ask yourself, is it me thinking or is that God thinking? God speaking to me or is it the devil talking to me? Because you'll be going through your week and you'll have those thoughts and you did something. And you know what you did. You made that mistake. You know what you did. And that thing will come at you and he'll pound you and pound you and pound you and say, you know what, you shouldn't even go to church. You shouldn't even pray. You go to pray, he'll say, look what you did. You mean to tell me you're going to pray and you did what you did? Let me ask you something. Is that the Lord doing that or the devil?
Yeah.
That's the devil doing it.
Right.
But that's exactly how he works. He'll come at you and whatever you did, because I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost will do, he'll lead you right back to repentance every time.
Right.
Just like a father. You know, my sons, you know, I remember one time I grew my squash plants in my garden in Emily. It was so nice. Prettiest garden you ever seen. And that little boy right there run his tractor right over it. Just tore over every bit of it. And I could have just. But I didn't do that. Actually, I thought it was so funny, I laughed. No matter what he would do, I would never drive him away. Because he's my son. And I love him. And I'll tan his hide. And I'll make it right. But I'll never let him go. And 10 times more than that, our Heavenly Father did that for us. I want you to remember that. When if you make a mistake, and you know what, because there's sometimes you'll be going through and you just slide down and you don't know how in the world you got there. Like, Lord, I don't know how I did that. I don't know how I made it here. You just reach out to the Lord.
and say, God, forgive me. And he'll put you right back on that path with you, and he'll teach you. Amen.
Yeah.
Our gospel is simple. It's a very simple gospel. You don't have to go on this thing like the Catholic Church does, where you have to go and crawl on glass and all this nonsense that they do. You simply repent. Say, God, forgive me. And while I'm here on this subject, I want you to think about this. In the Old Testament, when they come forth, they'd take a lamb without blemish, and they'd bring that before the priest. And that priest, he would not even look at the person. He wouldn't even see the filth or the mire or whatever it is. It don't matter what condition that person was in. When he brought that sheep up there, that lamb, all he did was inspect that lamb. That's the only thing he looked at was that lamb. He would look at the eyes, the round. He'd look all the way around the lamb, and he would be inspecting the lamb. And when that lamb was inspected, he says, this lamb's without blemish. And they sacrificed that lamb, and they would cut him open and put that believer, no matter what condition he was in, he would put his hands on that, and that blood would get upon him, and he was taken care of. His sins were covered for the year. You say amen.
Amen.
Because that lamb was accepted, he was accepted.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
But you know what? The thing about it is, under that blood of that lamb, it couldn't change his desire. The same desire that he had to do whatever filthy thing he was doing, whenever he went and done that, yes, his sin was atoned. But guess what? When he left, the same desire was there. Because that blood of the lamb couldn't do that. He couldn't destroy the sin. It just covered it. But we're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the living Word. Whenever he comes and we identify ourselves with that blood, not only does it destroy the sin, it makes it go away. He changes the nature on the inside. He says, God, I don't want to do that anymore. He'll make something on the inside where you don't even want to go back to those things. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Not just the blood of goats. We're not under those things. We've got the blood of Jesus Christ among us that can actually change my desire where I don't even want to do those things anymore. Say amen.
Amen.
No, when we come to the Lord, and you and Tony did an awesome illustration the other day with the glass. And you know, whenever you accept the Lord, wonderful. But you've got to be cleaned up.
Right.
You can't stop there. When you accept the Lord, say, God, come in my heart. You can't stop there. Right then, you've got to start taking this word as that word is preached to you. And you begin to apply it to your life. Say, Lord, help me. Oh, God, help me. You know this area is in my life. Help me, God. And you, yourself, you are in fellowship with God. And you know whenever you're in fellowship with God, there's something there between you. You let a husband and a wife or two best friends, you let them be really good friends. Let something get between them. It could be a piece of sand, and you'll know it's there. That's right. You always feel it's there, and it's always uncomfortable. You can't fellowship like you used to. You can't talk like you used to. Why? There's something there. But guess what? You get that thing out of the way, you'll go right back together and fellowship. But you've got to make it right. You feel something inside there. Well, one time you can talk to your mama and your daddy. All of a sudden, there's an uncomfortable. Why? There's something there. Get that out of the way. Because tell you what, life's too short. Life is too short to have unhappy homes.
Right.
Praise God. Whenever you come to the Lord and you receive the Lord, that's a wonderful step, accepting the Lord in your life. It's wonderful. But you've got to start allowing that word to come in your life. And the Lord will actually give you a new spirit, a spirit of sanctification. And that spirit of sanctification will actually cause you, because remember, your nature, when you're born in this world, this thing is born in sin, shaped in iniquity. This thing is contrary to God. If you think you're a saint, you're fooling yourself. When you're born in this world, this thing is contrary to God. And you accept the Lord. But guess what? This thing does not want to serve the Lord. He'll want to go after the world as quick as he can. And every time the word comes toward you, it'll be a fight. But when God gives you that spirit of sanctification, that spirit comes to you, it's a spirit inside you that will agree with the word. And then you can actually start hearing the words of, yes, Lord, I believe that. I believe that. But what happens a lot of times, people will get the spirit of sanctification to think they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they never go further. The spirit of sanctification gets you ready for the Holy Ghost. Is that the truth?
Right.
Whenever you start getting in the Lord, that spirit of sanctification will come to you. And that's what gives you that desire to just want to keep clean. That's what gives you the desire. When you read the words, oh God, you know, you just, all the time, you're just like,
People think you're a nut. Well, praise God. Without his nuts, you got nothing but a bunch of yunk. Is that right? But we've got to be cleaning ourselves, God. We've got to have something on the inside of us that says, God, I don't want to stay here. I want to move forward. Amen. We don't want to be comfortable, because if you be comfortable, the devil will help you. He'll help you cut trees down and build your house. That's right. Amen. He'll make you just as comfortable as you need to be. Because as long as you are comfortable, he'll let you come to church. That's not a problem.
That's right.
If you're comfortable, he'll let you pay your tithes. Not a problem. Just don't let this change. Because once you get this changed, that's when the power is going to start coming.
Amen.
Because he gives us power to be the sons of God. What is it? You're always a son, but he gives you power to step up into the position of being a son. Amen.
Amen.
It's whenever you are walking in the authority of a son. Because a young man that's... Let's just go with the notes. Come on. You ever just feel so good you just want to just... Praise the Lord. I'm going to get just a few more things before I get to that. The disciples like us were so earthbound, worrying about the earthbound things, that they were missing out on what's important. They were missing out on what the living Word was telling them right in front of them. And he was trying to tell us, beware of false doctrine. Beware of these things. Because you know what? The false doctrine is not just in the denominational system, friends. It has come right in what's called message churches now. That's right. And I'll tell you the difference. Well, I'll tell you one of the biggest corruptions that we've had is the message on computers. And the reason is, you've got a lot of evangelists that have absolutely no experience in the Lord, and they'll put them notes together and make their words so eloquently, fit so pretty, it'll be the prettiest sermon you've ever seen. But then you watch their life, their chest is puffed out like this, there's no humility. They'll cut other preachers down right in the midst of you.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. I come in the presence of the Lord. I believe I do get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you something. The more I see of this revelation, it brings the humility. Because it makes me so thankful I'm saved. One of the worst things we've ever had. I thank God for it, because there's sometimes you can do it like a concordance. If you're going through and you want to know something about, you know, I know I've read this. I know I've heard this before. Where's that at? And you can actually pull your phone up. That's wonderful. Or you can copy and paste the notes. That's wonderful. One of the worst things that's ever happened is because they get all these notes, but there's no revelation. And there's a puffed up. And that's what wisdom will do for you. Or knowledge, rather. Knowledge will puff you up. Remember, knowledge is when you know how to cook a cookie, but the wisdom puts the cookie book down and you step on top of it and get to the top of the shelf, as Brother Ben Norrock explained one time. I thought that was a very good illustration. I'll make it more simple for you. Knowledge is to know about something. Wisdom shows you what to do with what you know.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. That's the difference. You don't want to be someone so full of knowledge about the message, so much full of knowledge about those things, because it'll always puff you up. I'm telling you what, a genuine revelation will bring a humility for you, and you'll thank God you're saved, and you'll not want to put your other brothers down.
Right.
You'll always want to pull them right back up with you. Yeah. So say the Word will never beat you down and leave you that way. He'll always lead you right back to repentance every single time. And if I'm telling you what, if someone tells you something, it's false doctrine. The Holy Ghost will always bring you back to repentance. Amen. If you don't mind, let's turn our Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 through 18. Matthew chapter 6. Told you the wrong scripture. Is that chapter 6, verses 13 through 18?
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I'm just going to read this to you because I know what scripture it is, okay? And when Jesus came to the coast of Syria, Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men? It's 16. That's why. I don't know what it is. It's Matthew 16. Sorry. 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.
He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The organization and a lot of the churches has missed this point of the scriptures where they've said that, you know, that you're supposed to build your church on where Peter was at that time. You build it on that little rock. But if you really take the scripture, what he's saying, he says, I will build my church upon this rock. The revelation of who I am. There is power in them that believe on the name of who he is. There's power in revelation. You see, amen?
Yeah.
Brother Branham said, you know, that's one of the most important things in the world that you could have is revelation. And he said this way. He said, even your salvation depends on revelation. He says, because it can be taught to you with great eloquence. It can be taught in all these great ways, but unless God reveals it to you, it won't do you any good. That's what I was saying earlier. You know, it's not just reading the pages of the Bible or the message. It's what is it saying to me? Give me the revelation of this. Because that's what gives you stimulation of revelation. Amen?
Amen?
That's what causes you to live this word is a stimulation. That's what we need today. We need more stimulation. When we read that word, you say, God, speak to me through this message. Speak to me through this word and give me a revelation. Because then I can do what I need to do. You know, you've got needs. You've got things that are in your way. Barriers in your way. You've got mountains that need to be moved. Start speaking to it. Start speaking to those things and see if God don't move it. You know, my foot was hurting. To me at that time, that was a mountain. It was a big mountain. And you know what? I the brothers prayed with me. The sisters, all of you prayed with me. I praised God for it. Do you know what? I could not let that stay right there. I had to start speaking to that mountain.
Yeah.
I started saying to everyone, I said, praise God, my foot is healed. And you know, the first day I was at work, and the guys at work said, you look crazy. You ain't healed no more or nothing. I said, I'm telling you, it's healed. They said, you're crazy. I said, yeah, I am. And I'm walking around, and I had to think about which foot was hurting because I couldn't remember. It ain't hurting no more. Praise the Lord. I think it was that one. It was that one. I kept testifying, and it had a big old long streak down the side of it, and everyone was saying, it's broken. You're going to need screws. You're going to need that. I said, well, I'm not going to believe I need any of that. And by Wednesday, I was still in the garden. But what was I doing? I was speaking to that mountain. It don't matter what it looks like. It don't matter what it feels like. I'm speaking to this mountain.
Amen.
Because I know where I'm standing.
Amen.
You've got a mountain that's in your way. It don't matter what it feels like. No matter what it looks like, you start speaking to that mountain and see if God don't move that mountain for you. People say, you know what? I don't see any mountains being moved. Well, you missed this one because this one was moved. Amen. How many have got mountains that's been moved?
Amen.
We've got one downstairs being moved. It's a big one. Praise God. Power is needed to conquer, especially while under opposition. If you don't mind, let's go to another scripture in Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. If you don't mind, I think it's really good to read the scriptures. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Amen.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came up on me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in the pavilion. Now, did it say, I'll hide in the pavilion? He says, he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. Who's going to hide? Is it me? No, it's him. He's going to hide me in his pavilion.
Amen.
He says, and he shall set me upon a rock. Am I going to be on the rock by myself? No. God's going to put me on this rock. Whenever I seek this revelation, I say, God, I believe it. And you start walking in that Lord, he's going to pick you right up away from your adversaries and put you right on top of that rock. And then let them devils try coming in.
Right.
Come on.
Let them come then. Because why? It's God putting me up there. It ain't my mind. It ain't my power. It's not my ability. You know, when David killed Goliath, he went and got five smooth stones, a fivefold ministry. He only needs one of them. Five stones. And he went there and grabbed that one stone and slung it up through and hit Goliath. One stone, though it took. One revelation. All he needed is one revelation. Fivefold ministry is giving you revelation after revelation after revelation, word upon word upon word upon word. And all you've got to do is just hold Goliath still for just a minute to hit him. Say amen?
Amen.
And then you just bring his head with you. You got to cut his head off. And then every time you come to church during that week, you kill Goliath. You see him coming in.
See my sister Pansy. Come in. Our humble, precious self as she is. Drops the head down and starts praising the Lord. See our young people carrying the big Goliath head that they've been fighting all week long. Boy, it's heavy. It's heavy, all these victories we've got beating the devil. You're walking through and you put that big fat head back on the ground. And you start praising the Lord more. Why? He's got brothers. I got him. Now I want his brothers. Say amen.
Amen.
We need to take our victories. But it can't be like little pecans. You know, carrying a little pea inside here. That's the victory I got this week. Come on. I'm not trying to be funny, but hello. We got to have victories in this life. We got to have victories in this world. Because there's nothing wrong with the word. And there's not a lack of devils.
Right.
That means there's a lack of victory. So we need to get back in this word and say, okay, God, I'm going to do an examination. Why am I not bringing Goliath's heads in with me when I come to service? That way, when I go to praising the Lord, I'm throwing my hands up because I'm saying, God, I thank you for the victory I got this week. I thank you for giving me the victory to beat that devil. And if you ain't beat him yet, you ain't cut his head off yet, God, I thank you for giving me the strength because I'm going to beat him this week. I thank you. I'm going to beat him during this service. I'm going to thank you because in his sickness, you are worshiping him. You're praising him. You're saying, God, I love you. I love you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity. I love being a son of God. Help me rise to the position you've called me to. Help me to rise out of this muck and mire I've been trying to live in because as my brother Tony preached, that's where the trouble's at. If you try living down here, you'll have troubles all the time. Get up here. And you'll start having victories. Is that the truth?
Amen.
We need to soar up. Get caught up in heavenly places. Because I'm telling you what. The more you see who you are, the more you see who Jesus Christ is. And the more you see who Jesus Christ is, it exposes the devil. Exposes him out of our homes. Exposes him out of my relationship with my wife, my pastor, my brothers. Hello. Because that devil's going to try to keep coming. Anywhere he has an opportunity to come, he's going to come. But you know what? This, the light can be out. You turn the light on, what starts scattering?
Right.
Hello.
Right.
We need to turn the light on.
Amen.
Amen. We've only got about 5 pages left, so we got plenty of time. In the time of trouble, we have confidence. You can have confidence out of a pure heart and a true desire to serve the Lord. Our strength isn't from what we can do, but it's where God has placed us. He says, he shall hide me, and he shall set me on the rock. Not us placing ourselves, but by his grace we're called. We fill the pool to come to God, and we surrender to that pool, and God does the placing. He does the protecting, and he does the providing. You know, I remember I worked at Planters. I remember I was working there, and someone told me, he said, you know what? He said, you are so lucky to have that job. It was a decent paying job. I said, no. I said, I'm blessed to have a provider because my God is my provider. He just so happens to be using this business right now to meet my needs. That means Planters could go under today. I'm just fine because my provider ain't gone nowhere.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
No, Reed and Dodge can go under today. I'm not going to have to worry about that. Why? Because my provider is God. And it just so happens, Reed Dodge is blessed enough that God seen fit to use them right now. Now, he can change that anytime he wants to. That's right. And that's where it comes by stewardship of the Lord. You know what? I got your electric bills, these things. It may be Social Security, it may be your provider. Your daddy might be your provider. It don't matter who it is your provider. God's the provider. That's right. And then that's all you've got to do is walk the way you're supposed to walk. That's pretty simple, man. It's got to be way more complicated than that. Just be a good kid. I remember when the kids be like, I said, just be good. That's all you got to do. Just be good. Because I want to bless you. I want to help you. I want to do good things for you. But if I have to stop this car, I'm going to wear you out. Hello? You think God don't do that? God wants to bless us. God wants to meet our needs. God wants to do these things. He wants to do all that. But if he has to stop the car to give us a spanking every 5 minutes because we keep trying to be rebellious, we are not going to get here. We'll get there. But it's going to be a lot of whippings before we get there. Amen. Amen. It's easier. Just be good. Just follow the Lord. Just be good. He said, amen. Everyone say that. I'm going to be good. Boy, doesn't that feel good? Just be good. That's all you got to do. I know young parents, you know what I'm talking about. Just be good. That's all you got to do. I want to buy you ice cream. I want to do these things. If it hurts me, it won't hurt you. I ain't had to do that in a long time, so I'll give my kids. I'll give that. There's a word that they call it. I can't remember what it is. But praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3, verses 20 through 22. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You say amen. What is this saying? I'm going to break it down for you really good. This is Daniel's explanation. Just be good. You say amen. Because when you walk in the Lord and you're following the Lord, and because you know what you're doing, you're growing up to be mature Christians. When you're growing up, you know you shouldn't be doing these things. Just don't do them. Walk in the Lord, because I'm telling you what, every time, tell me this ain't the truth, every time you step out and you start doing things, you start feeling condemnation all over again. Right inside your heart, and you have no confidence. You don't have no fortification then. You don't feel that devil can whoop you all week, as long as you allow him to do that. But if you will shun those things that are evil, shun those vain babblings, questions that people start asking you, because you know that they ain't no more intentions of wanting to know truth than anything, all they want is argument. Hello? People put something on Facebook, they'll put stuff out there, all they want to do is argue. I don't even get into that. Hello? You know, whenever you're doing these things, whenever they're talking about this nonsense or some of those things, you got to understand something. There's a reason why they talk like that, because they're unbelievers. But you're a believer. And more is expected of you. It's more expected from someone that's this tall than someone this tall. By maturity ages. At one time, maybe you could get away with that. But after a while, I was like, all right, it's time to straighten up. Because you know what? I want power from the Lord. I want the Lord to work in my lives. But God can't do that if I'm walking in condemnation. I know I'm right in everyone's living room. Right? If you're like me, you're still in this flesh. Hello? You're right inside this flesh, but you know what? We know. When you rub that cat that certain way, it's going to scratch you every time. Every single time. So what do you got to do? You got to feed the right dog. You got to feed the right man, the white dog. You got to give him the word. You got to give him his due diligence of time. You got to get it. You spend some time in the Lord. Brother Branham said, stay with what's on those tapes. You know, there's revelation, there's a testimony going out that's been going out for years. You know, Brother Billy Paul, I believe he's my precious brother. I'd shake his hand and hug his neck right now. There's a testimony he goes out saying that there'll be sharks here at this certain time before you're an old man. You know what? Don't even let those things startle you. Because you know what? Whether there be sharks, there ain't sharks, it's still the message. You say amen?
That's right.
Table quotes. That's what I would call it. Stay with what's on those tapes, is what Brother Brennan said. Because I'm telling you something, listen to those tapes. Listen to me, young people. Those tapes have got anointing on them. And his rapturing faith is going to come from those tapes. When you're listening to those tapes, there is an anointing of him. That's why we've got the tapes. We've got to start saying no to this world. I'll stand by Jesus and let the world go by. I've got the cross before me. I've got the world behind me. We've got to be able to do ourselves. Say, God, I know, Brother Daniel told me that all I got to do is rest. You do, but there's something you got to do too. You've got to say no to the world. You got to say, you know what? I'm taking this time. I am listening to a message. The prophet of God's giving me a message. I'm going to respect this message. I'm going to reverence this message. And as much as you will reverence him, the more God will bless you. How many of you want revelation? You say, I want revelation. The scripture gives you the formula. He says, knock, and it should be open to you. Seek it, and you'll find it. Seek it. That means you are seeking a revelation. If I'm looking for my car keys, I'm going to start looking. I'm going to pick stuff up. I'm going to be looking. I'm not going to sit with my feet in the air. I'm going to be looking. Why? I'm seeking. I am seeking a revelation. I want truth. That means I've got to get out of my comfort zone. I've got to get up. I've got to move. I've got to change things. I've got to get out of my position I've been in. Why? I'm seeking revelation. I'm knocking. I'm saying, God, what does this revelation mean? What does this rapture mean? I'm knocking. Why? Because I'm telling the world, the Lord, I'm putting the world behind me. I'm putting the cross before me. Because I want to walk in the fullness of the Son of God. You say, amen. Yeah. I want to walk in more than I've got. I want to have two hands plumb full of glass when I come through that door. I want to say, if you don't mind, I've got two more in the back of the truck. Could you please come help me carry them in? Because I've got victories. Like I said earlier, and if you don't believe this, don't say amen. Or if you do, say amen. There's no shortage of devils. There's no shortage of the word. So if we're not defeating the devils, we're not getting the victories. And God's not going to just put you through the pipe and say, okay, you're an overcomer. He'll give you everything that you need. He'll give a pull in your heart to the word. He'll give you, as a son, he'll give you something here that will respect the word. He'll give you these things, but you've got to apply them. You've got to say, God, I want the victory. I want to beat this devil. This thing's been trying to hold me down for too long. I want to beat the devil.
Yeah. We are almost finished. Two more. My wife says I'm a long-winded preacher. Said it a couple of times anyway. We were going home and she said, long-winded preacher. That was me, Brother Tony, wasn't you? He will try to break our fellowship. This is Satan. He'll try to break our fellowship with God, our spouse, our friends, our pastor. And when there is something between a relationship, the confidence is gone. Is that right? God has done a work here, and I believe we're fixing to see a huge corner turned. I really do. With all my heart, I believe it with all my heart. And right now is where we need to examine ourselves and say, Lord, this is my part of the wall that we're building. I'm not going to let anything in my area hold my brothers and sisters back. And that doesn't mean I'm going to stay home out of church. That means I'm going to walk in the Word. Amen. And if I need help, I'm going to ask for help. Amen. You say amen.
Amen.
Because you know what? Not a hoof's going to be left behind.
That's right.
Not a one of you. So if I have to, Brother Tim posted one here a while back of a water buffalo laying on the ground. And this other one come up and nudged him, and he didn't want to get up. He nudged him. He didn't want to give up. And guess what he did? He didn't walk away. It looked like he was going to for a second. He walked back here, and he gave it a good... He knocked him up, and guess what? He got up then.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something. I start seeing you laying down, I'm going to bump you.
That's right.
I'm going to bump you again. If you don't after that, I'll be right back. Brother Tommy, you ready? Let's go. Because we're both going to get you. And then he said, you know what? You still ain't getting up, Brother Tim? Brother Matthew? Brother Ben? Please. That sounds funny, but I'm serious.
Right.
If I see you starting laying down, if I see you slacking, I'm going to get on you. Because I love you. If I see my boys slacking, I think there's more out of them. They may think I absolutely hate them. That's because I love them. I know it's there. I know it can be there.
Praise
the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand as we try to wind this down. Sort of one more scripture. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Pray for the fivefold ministry, that they will help us preach us into a unity of the faith. Not preaching different doctrines, not preaching our ideas, but preaching the message of the hour. Because there is the message. You say amen? There is a the message. And when we come with the message, the way God gave it to us, it'll work exactly the way it's supposed to. You know, you can get tools or parts for a washing machine or whatever it may be, and there's an instruction manual with it. Us guys hardly ever use them. And I've gotten so much better. Because used to, I'd have screws left over, I'd stuff left over, and say, what's this? I said, well, it's just extra in case you lose it. Because that was something to carnal. And you know what? Because I would try to do it my own self, it didn't always work. But I'm going to tell you something. When you take the owner's manual, and we do it exactly the way the owner's manual says, no matter how simple, no matter how great of a job, when we take this owner's manual, when we do it exactly the way it says, there won't be one screw left over. It'll do exactly what it was designed to work. Amen? Because you know what? I'm not going to buy aftermarket parts. I want the original. It'll be all from the same factory because I don't want the cheap stuff. I want the original. And you know what? You pray for your ministry. Say, preacher, I don't want no manufactured stuff. I want the original. Amen. And if it don't matter how simple the doctrine, how great the doctrine, use the owner's manual.
Yes, amen. That's right.
If you notice, I probably used one quote today. I really felt the Lord led me to do it that way. Because we can show you how you can take this Bible right here, and this will match the word. This will match the message. The message will match this. This is priority. Brother Graham would tell you the same thing.
Right.
You follow this.
Right.
He says, if I ever get out of the way, you stay with this,
right,
the word.
Right.
And that's what made him a prophet. See, amen? He stayed exactly what Paul preached.
Right.
Oh, do you know the song, the words to come to the will? You happen to know that? No, that's okay. You sing us another song. Yes. I thought that'd be a good one.
I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by.
Some songs. Let's just worship the Lord. And you know what? As we're singing that, if anyone has need of prayer, that's what we're here for. We want to pray with you. That's where the Tony come, if you don't mind. And I know I read that quote about the altar. I wasn't trying to take the altar out in any way. Brother Vernon wasn't either. He's saying, but you got to accept it. That's the thing. It's what he was saying. You've got to accept what you're being prayed for.
Preaching, I usually try to, in my mind, I usually say, well, what am I going to preach if this person, for some reason, they can't do it? And so Psalms 27 was what I had on my plate this morning to share, so I really appreciate that. But, you know, I want to dwell just a little bit on our young people since they come back from camp. And I said a little while ago, I know that the devil wants to try and take away what you got, but I'm just going to tell you that when I said, well, they look refreshed and that sort of thing, I'm not talking about just physically. And I'm not talking about just Sunday whenever we met to pick my people up. I'm not talking about just then, I'm talking about since then. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about something that I've seen in our young people as I shook their hands and as I've seen them talk and so forth, that something took place.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, Brother Tony knows something happened, that each one of you had received something there from the Lord. And so it's not just an emotion. As Brother Daniel said, the devil want to try to tell you it's just an emotion, but whatever emotion you might have had at camp wouldn't make Brother Tony see what he sees. You know what I'm saying? So you take that. And I know that you want to be saved. I know you want to have the Holy Ghost. I know that you want to please God. We all do. And so, but as Brother Daniel was talking about, and there is a pathway. When you give your heart to the Lord, then he's got to clean you up. He's got to sanctify you and get you to the place where he can put his Holy Ghost in you. And so once you've committed yourself to the Lord, once you've got an experience with God and something's happened down inside you, and you know that, be very aware of what takes place as you go forward and all the things that happen, because you've got to realize that as you move forward, Satan's coming at you.
Yeah.
He's coming at you with things, and his purpose is to take away from you the thing that God placed there, that he wants to, as Brother Brandon said, he gives you the Spirit of God It's like the size of a button, and then it grows.
That's right.
He gives you something. He wants that to grow, but now the growth of that that you have received at camp, that growth is going to be dependent upon how you interact with the things as you go forward, as these things come at you. And all the Lord is saying, you know, as a soldier, fight. Fight these things. And so he's placed something there in you, and that something is talking to you. That something that is talking to you that agrees with the Word, and it's encouraging you in the things of the Lord. And as the enemy comes with his onslaught and things at you, that something you receive is telling you how to combat. So you have decisions to make. You have to make a decision that now I'm being confronted with something that I know is not right. This experience that I've got at camp that's got me bubbling, it's telling me to combat this. Don't give into this. And so you got to make decisions not to give into those things, right? To go ahead and go with the Lord and stay with the Lord. And as you do that, that button grows, or that experience that you receive grows. But if you don't listen to that and you go ahead and let Satan put you back into your old routine, now you step back and you realize that experience is now not as great as it was.
Right.
I'm talking about warfare.
Yeah.
And this is exactly the way it works. So what I'm trying to tell you is there's something in every one of your lives, there's something every day where you've got to fight. There's something Satan wants to put up on you to make you weaker. And every day you've got to pass through this decision, this ground of decision, and you've got to make up your mind, I'm not giving in to the devil. I'm not going back to the things I used to do.
Right.
I'm going to take what God has given me right now, and it's going to grow. And that's that Goliath that he's talking about. God wants you to slay these things every day. So that's the way it is. And so I just want to make some comments about that. So it's not just an emotion, something that's real there, but it'll always tie you back to the Word. It'll always be back to the Scriptures. I was listening to Brother Ram yesterday, and he's talking about a life that's worthy of the gospel. And he said, would the Holy Spirit anoint you to believe something or that's contrary to His Word? And what he was saying was the Holy Spirit wrote the Word,
right?
And then you're going to tell me He's going to come along and anoint you to believe and do something different than the Word?
No.
So that's why he says that these people run around doing all this stuff contrary to the Word and saying it's God. It's not. Right. See, so it'll always go back to the Scriptures. And so if something's motivating you, it will never tell you to go contrary to the Word. He'll try to deceive you and trick you and making you into thinking it's the Word. But down inside, God will make sure there's a witness in you that you know this is not right. He'll always tell you. Because if you absolutely had no voice whatsoever telling you it was wrong, he couldn't judge you over it.
Right.
But he will tell you, and you'll have something there to tell you that's what's right and what's wrong. And so Brother Daniel was talking about how the disciples, when they had reasoned that they hadn't taken bread, and he's talking about how their mind was upon the natural things, and because their mind was on the natural things, they were missing the spiritual things.
That's right.
And I wanted to make a comment about that, because Jesus, basically what he's saying, he said, listen, you're worried about your next meal. Don't you realize I'm with you? And don't you realize I've provided these things before? I provided the loaves and the fishes. I did that. Why, if you know I'm with you and I've done that and I'm with you now, why would you worry about natural things? I'll take care of those natural things. I told you I'd take care of the natural things. But get your mind on spiritual things. Right? Serve God first. And if you serve God first, then all these other things will be added. Says the Scriptures, right? And so I give you my testimony. You know, I was going to college. I've said this, going to college, I wasn't but about four classes away from graduating. And the Lord got a hold of me. And I was confronted with a decision. In my heart, I knew that I didn't have much further to go. I could get a degree. I could have a diploma. And I could walk around and shake in everybody's face and say, look what I got. I could have done that. But in my heart,
I wanted to serve God. And I didn't want to give up that time it was going to take me to have to go sit in class. I didn't want to give that up. I wanted to serve God. And I made a decision. I'm not going back to another class. I'm committing it to God. And now I got, for years now, I have 7 guys that work for me. They're all degreed people. And I'm their boss. And I make more money than they do. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is a substance to serving God.
Yes.
He will do what he said he will do according to that word. But you can't be wishy-washy. You've got to commit it all to him exactly the way he said. And then he'll take you down the road.
Yeah.
Just like he said he would. And he'll make those things happen. So if God's with you and you've seen all, then commit all these things to God. Serve him first. Get your mind on spiritual things. And he'll give you the job you need. He'll give you the wife you need.
Right.
He'll give you the home that you need.
Amen.
Just get your mind on him first.
Amen.
That's the thing. We've got to do that. Get your mind on God first. And don't let the devil just pull you down and get your mind on these other things. Don't let him put you back into your old ways or whatever. God's always about growing and putting forth new growth. That's when something's alive, there's always something growing. You know, science, I think, says that every cell in your body, about every 7 years, they replenish. And if it didn't, you'd be dead. God is about new growth. So that's what you want to do. Commit it to him, and he'll always have you growing. He talked about that lamb. Whenever they bring the lamb up, that priest wouldn't even look at the lamb. I wouldn't look at the person. He'd look at the lamb all night. Right? He'd look at the lamb, and if the lamb was okay. And the thing that I want you to remember is the person would go pick out the lamb.
Mm-hmm.
The person would say, I'm a sinner. I'm in trouble. I need to be cleansed of my sins. I'm supposed to find a sacrifice to stand in my place. So the person would go, and they'd pick out a lamb out of their flock. And that's what they would take. And then, of course, that lamb would be inspected. Now, the thing I'm trying to pull back to here is that lamb that gets inspected, it's the one you pick.
That's right.
It's the one you pick. Now, if you can look at your denomination,
come on,
and you see it as a perfect lamb, try to present it.
Uh-huh.
If you want to look at the president and think he's the answer to it, try and present it. See? And I think you're smart enough to know I can't present a denominational lamb. I can't present a president that we've just hired, no matter what, whatever. I can't present my mom and dad. I can't even present Brother Tony or Brother Daniel, right? I can't present that. You know that.
Yeah.
You've got to pick one that you see in your eyes as being without spot and without blemish. And one that you have confidence in. And when you have confidence in that one, and you take him by faith and by confidence, you put him over there knowing that when that high priest looks at him, that he's going to say, I find no fault in him. And here's why I'm trying to tell you. Our lamb is clean.
Amen.
The lamb that we present, Jesus Christ and him alone, he's clean. Not even Brother Branham.
Right.
Jesus Christ didn't make a mistake at the tax case.
Right?
Right? Jesus Christ is clean. He's a clean lamb, and as long as that's who you put up there. And so when you get called in before every day, when you're falling short or whatever, and you've made a mistake like Brother Daniel was talking about a while ago, and you feel condemnation or whatever, God has a way back. And the way you come back is you come before the high priest. And you come before him, and you don't make excuses about what you've done, and you just come and you say, the only thing I bring before you today is this perfect lamb, Jesus Christ. That's all you do. Bring it before him on the basis of that. And on the basis of that clean lamb, when you bring him, God will answer you. You'll be back in fellowship just like that with God. That's just the way it works. But if you bring something different, if you bring an excuse, it's this, or this happened and that's it. God, we don't need excuses.
No.
We need the lamb. We need a clean lamb to get us to where we need to go. Amen. So, let me look down my notes here, make sure I covered everything. You know, when I listen to sermons, whether Brother Branham or whoever else, man, I'm getting sermons. I'm writing this stuff down. And you know, Brother Ram said it would be that way. He said, you'll be listening, somebody will say something, and they'll strike it, and there's your sermon, and you go with it. Yeah. And that's where most of my sermons come from. Is that it's just in my daily reading or in sermons I'm listening, and most of the time they're all tied together anyway. The Lord just speaking of whatever, and that's where they come from. And so I had a lot of things there that the Lord just, I wanted to mention there. I don't want to come along behind and preach, but I know that's what it looks like, and that's, but I just want to say what's on my heart. And so, all right. And one other thing, and we'll finish. We're talking about a rock. He gives you a rock. And you know, a rock is a revelation. Now, why is that? Why is it? This scripture, why? Because there's a flood. And he who builds his house on the sand, the flood comes along and wipes the sand away, and everything he's built upon is wiped away because he built on the wrong thing. But if a man builds it upon a rock, then when that flood comes, the flood can't hurt the rock. So as long as you're built on that rock, the flood can't destroy you because you're on the rock. And that's why. Why? Because you've got a good foundation. And that's why there's a, it speaks of a church and a system in the Bible that's from the bottomless pit. No matter how far down you go, you'll never find a rock there.
Right.
Because it's bottomless. So there's no foundation in the Word for all these things that they teach. So we've got to find a place that's back to the Word, right back where there's a foundation. And when we build on that, then no matter what flood comes, it's not going to take it away. Now, how many's been driving around the country, something like that, and you see where the Corps of Engineers or whatever have come in and they've done some, you know, road work or whatever, and they have to deal with water.
Yeah.
They have to deal with runoff. And you'll find they'll make these big gullies or these places for water to go. And what do you see they put in there most of the time? Gigantic rocks. Because gigantic rocks controls that flood and makes it do what they want it to do.
Yep.
And when you have a giant rock that you're built upon, I don't care what Satan throws your way, it ain't moving you.
That's right.
Because you've got revelation.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, a rock. Is a revelation. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Not Peter, but on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. That's the difference in what it makes. And so also, I'll say this, he mentioned something about evangelists. You know, as pastor, I have to make a decision for people who come through here to minister. And if I see them come through and I can and see them doing what Brother Daniel's talking about, my wife and I have discussed this before. She and I've mentioned to her that, you know what, I don't think I'll have this brother back. She'll tell you that. Because of what he said. Now, I don't think I've discussed this with you.
No.
But I have to choose because when I don't care how famous the brother is around the message. If I look at his character and the way he speaks from the pulpit or the way he speaks, and I have to make, and I'm not saying that I'll just, if I see that, because I have to deal with them, you know. But I have to look at that and say, yes or no, do I think that that would be fit to bring back to the pulpit here? Because, you know, they're part of the fivefold ministry, and they don't have the nature of being a pastor, obviously, but there's a certain credibility they have to have.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to think about those things, and I just wanted to mention that because Brother Daniel had brought it up, and this is something, you know, and so there may be a minister that you may see that I don't bring him back. Okay? And it will be because of something that I have seen, and apparently Brother Daniel has too. Like I said, I'll end my comments by the way I started. I love the mind of the Lord. Amen. Let's all stand. I hope you don't think I'm just trying to be but you know, I really felt impressed to hit those bullets with you and say those things right along with Brother Daniel, and I appreciate Brother Daniel. He's wonderful to me. He's wonderful to this assembly, and his family is, and so we just want to thank the Lord for that. But I wanted to share those comments that the Lord had given me there to go along behind Brother Daniel to back him up. And in your mind, to back him up with what he said, because he speaks truth.
Amen.
And so, well, we're just going to pray again as we get ready to close, and Brother Tim can have a song.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we get ready to leave this morning, we thank you for this time we've had in your presence. It has been so good to be in the house of God. And I agree, Lord, I've been thinking about what's transpired here with the church and with the building. And I too believe we're seeing great things happen right here. Lord, if you allow us to continue on in this world and you don't take us before this time that I'm speaking of, I believe that there's going to be great things happen right here as we gather. We'll have church in this place, but not just some formality, but lives will be changed right here. That's our expectation, Lord. And so we just ask God to help us to be so faithful with everything that you've given us, to do the best we can with what you've given us, Lord. And we know that you'll take it and go on with it. You'll multiply it and increase it. Thank you, Lord, for these saints here that are part of this fellowship. I love them, Lord. Ask God for your richest blessings upon their life, both physically and spiritually, Lord. God, that you would protect us and keep us, and at the appointed time, you'd bring us back to this place to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.